This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
So today we're doing Ask an Astronomer with Dr. Joe Zuntz from the Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics at the University of Manchester. Joe's going to be answering three questions for us today. The first one is from Paul Wagstaff. Why is inflation necessary to explain isotropy? To my untutored mind, a point universe similar in all respects should remain so regardless of the speed of expansion.
So Paul's absolutely right that a perfectly isotropic and homogeneous universe, that means one that's the same in every direction and the same no matter where you are, so totally uniform, would stay like that permanently, so it would remain uniform. But it's also true that if you balance a pencil perfectly vertically on its tip, then it could balance there permanently, and it's a very similar situation. It's kind of technically true, but the system's very unstable. Even a tiny knock to the pencil or a tiny perturbation to that universe makes it quickly spiral out of control. In the pencil's case, that means the pencil falls over. And in the case of the universe, that means that a region with even a tiny bit more matter than elsewhere starts to pull more matter onto it by gravity, and then it grows and gets bigger, so it's got more gravity, and the process kind of spirals, and it quickly becomes non-isotropic. An isotropic and homogeneous universe is an unstable one. Given that the universe moves away from isotropy very quickly, and that we can see that just after the Big Bang, at the microwave background, just 300,000 years later, the universe was already very, very isotropic indeed, 1 part in 10 to the 5, and very uniform across a wide area. So the CMB, the microwave background, is the same across the whole sky. An area that wide shouldn't have been in causal contact, so it shouldn't have been able to synchronize its temperature across the whole sky. So the reason inflation is a compelling idea is it solves both these problems. It takes a very small area, which has one temperature and is locally fairly uniform, and blows it up until it's the size of the whole universe. So it's not surprising anymore, or it explains very well why the whole universe is uniform and synchronized across its whole area in temperature.
Thank you, Joe. Our next question is from Matthew Wilday. We all know about time dilation, understand the principle, and even get the equation, but my question is this. If we managed to build a spacecraft capable of going to 98% of the speed of light, what would the pilot see if we pointed them at a star 100 light years away? We know the light would take 100 years, but the pilot would get there in less than 100 years in their reference frame, so would they see space shrink?
So this certainly is very counterintuitive, absolutely. It's very hard to physically get an idea of what's going on. But in this case, yes, your pilot absolutely would find that the star, the space, and everything around them shrank in the direction they were travelling. Lorentz contraction, which is this phenomenon of relativity, it's a very real, literal phenomenon. It's not just metaphorical or about measurement. Possibly the best way or the best source for getting the hang of this and kind of getting an intuitive idea of these things is a book written in 1946 by the great physicist and cosmologist George Gamow. He wrote a book called Mr. Tompkins, which is about a man who falls asleep in a physics lecture and dreams he's in a world where the speed of light is 10 miles per hour. So he's cycling down the road and he sees the roads kind of contracting towards him, and he experiences time dilation. He meets a man who's, much younger than his own granddaughter, that kind of thing. So it's a really great book, very good for getting an intuition, and I really recommend it. There is one thing in Mr. Tompkins that isn't quite accurate anymore. So it was written in 46 before we knew a lot of these things. And that's the question of what your pilot would literally see with their eyes. So what would things actually physically look like? And it turns out that's a very complicated question in relativity. And it's because the light rays coming towards you undergo some very strange and surprising effects at relativistic speeds. So their wavelength can change, so their colour can change, and the angle they seem to be coming from can bend towards the direction of travel as well. So you start seeing things on the edge of your vision looking darker, or away from the way you're going start to look darker. If you want a very realistic experience of this relativity, including all these different effects and what you'd actually see, then I recommend a simulation/video game made by MIT called A Slower Speed of Light. So if you Google that, you can find downloads of A Slower Speed of Light. It's a game where you run around collecting little tokens, but each one you collect slows down the speed of light a little bit more. So you really start to see, as the speed of light comes to about walking pace, all these strange effects coming into play.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Our final question is from Christoph Krahenbuhl. He says, are the Gaia measurements affected by gravitational waves, and how can that be compensated for accurately?
So just for some background, Gaia is a European Space Agency space telescope that launched in 2003, whose job is to make the most accurate map of the Milky Way that's ever been created. So in particular, it will measure the positions of a huge number of stars in the Milky Way to 25 micro-arc-second accuracy. So that's 0.007 degree in angular or location accuracy. And then using parallax, so the apparent movement of the stars as the Earth goes around the Sun, it'll get amazing measurements of the distances to many of those stars in the Milky Way as well. And we're really looking forward to the data being released later this year. Now, that's absolutely incredible measurement achievement, and you know it's going to be great. So it's very reasonable to ask if gravitational waves of the kind detected by the LIGO experiment this year can disrupt that measurement. You know, they distort space and time, so could they distort these measurements? And the answer is no, not even a little tiny bit. Gaia's accuracy is like measuring the width of a human hair 1,000 kilometres away, and that's astounding. But seeing a gravitational wave is like measuring the same human hair a light year away. So it's more than 1 billion times too small to affect something like Gaia, amazing though it is. So even though Gaia was an amazing measurement, the precision they had to get to with the LIGO detectors was absolutely stunning, and that's one of the reasons it's so astoundingly impressive, and why no one is taking bets on the next Physics Nobel Prize anymore.
Thank you very much, Joe.